Fangeletta. I'm a little confused. We're at the Free FM. And what, New York isn't getting us or something? What's going on? You want my headphones off? Is that the idea? Put them back on. Okay, but no headphones. No headphones? Oh, I see. There's a psychedelic pandemonium here. this is Penn Jillette on the Free FM with Michael Gudeau. I like the show starting like that. It shows a certain kind of humility, you know? It's not just some sort of big, you know, swinging, oh, boy, we have a charge of everything. And we have our headphones off. It's a looser show today on this beautiful, what day of the week is it?
Thursday.
Oh, because I thought maybe it was, oh, we want to put our headphones on again. It's like, a lot of this is like New York. Everything is just beautiful, hunky and dory in that order. 866-570-PEN, 7366. I wanted to do penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com, sitting with Michael Gudeau. I thought we've been doing a lot of goofy shows lately, so I wanted to do a more serious show. And then there's this webpage where it's a bunch of women lined up fully clothed. And you put your pointer over them, and you see them naked, and it's I believe the greatest sight in the history of the world. I'm not going to dwell on it, of course. I mean, what I'm going to do, I'm going to dwell on it, but I'm not going to have you dwell on it. But if you want to, it's incident.net/works/miseanu/nues.html. But I'm only going to give that one, so we're not going to dwell on it. It's just a little bit of joy into your life. It's the most beautiful sight I've ever seen. And if you're listening on an iPod, you can run it back and forth and say it. But you can find it that way, or maybe search for great sight. We'll eventually have it up on penradio.com. Don't you think we will?
I doubt it.
By eventually, I mean like 30 years.
Should be. Might just fall onto it by then.
But we've been doing a lot of goofy shows, you know, craziest celebrities, and of course Monkey Tuesday and all that stuff. So I wanted to do a little more serious show. And there is news in the news today. I mean, other than just war stuff that we like to stay away from because everybody's covering that. Plan B is now available without prescription. Plan B is the greatest name in the world. It's a morning after pill. Which means the more there's, you know, that's just cutting off. There's a little bit of what's the word there? Aphrasis, a little bit of aphasia, is that what it's called when they cut off the last word of a phrase? Morning after sex pill. It's the morning after sex. And if you can prove you're 18 years or older, federal health officials rule Thursday that you can have the emergency contraceptive. So girls 17 and younger still need a doctor's note to buy the pill. It's called Plan B, the greatest name ever. And you go into the drugstore, and if you've had sex and you may worry that you may be pregnant, you can buy this right over the counter. 866-570-PEN. 7366. Now, there are objections to this. They've been fighting for 3 years. The makers think it should be available to a broader age group without prescription. But it's controversial even inside the FDA. Now, I'm trying to find where people are against it. The two-pill pack of Plan B costs from $25 to $40. I guess they expect you to barter. It's like being in Egypt or something. You go in there and you say, how much is it? And they say $45. And you go, listen, I'll give you 10. I mean, for a morning after, I don't really need it. You know, I don't really need it. And they go, okay, 40. And you go, I'm thinking 15. How about, I only need one pill. How about we 15? And they go, no, 35. And you barter back and you go, I didn't have that much sex. You know, it was just a little bit of sex. The chance of me being pregnant are pretty low. He did not seem like a virile man. You know, he didn't seem like he
low
had
motility.
A lot of hope to him. Very low. I mean, I looked. I didn't look under a microscope, but I looked very closely, and there wasn't a lot of wiggling going on. So I'm saying I'm going to give you $18. And he goes, 32. And he goes, 19. And you go, oh, no. Okay. I saw you with that guy, and he looked like you guys were really going to bang. Goes, okay. We were going to, but it was hardly, he kind of lost interest, and it was, and I, you know, I didn't really enjoy it that much, so that brings down, that's a wife's tale. $40 again. No, I'll give you 20. Okay, 20. Let's make it 25. Walk away. Everybody's happy. Okay? $25, take it away. So you're going to barter between $25 and $40. And nine states already allow it. Those nine states are, of course, Washington, California, New Mexico, Alaska, Hawaii, Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Vermont. All the states that would, you know, allow anything. Where's Nevada? Was Nevada in that list?
Nope.
Okay. Now, what they're worried about, what they're worried about is, and this is what drives me nuts, they're worried, 866-570-PAN. 7366. What they're worried about is that this would lead to promiscuity and that people who would choose abstinence might choose this instead. And they also are afraid, and this is the one that really kind of troubles me. Someone, and I want to make sure, you know, that this is not a complete nut who said this. Because sometimes, you know, you quote someone and it ends up being like you're quoting, you know, Bill Donahue or something, a guy that doesn't speak for anybody but just gets time on TV. So I want to make sure that that I'm not quoting some nut like that, and I can't even find it here. But somebody said, and probably a nut, that they were worried because it allowed people to get away with statutory rape. Because the big evidence for statutory rape was also getting pregnant or something, and now therefore what you were really doing was getting rid of evidence of statutory rape, which is astonishing. And I wish I could find somewhere in this quote who said that, because it just seems really, really evil, and it probably is one of those whack jobs. I saw this on the web, and then we printed it out, and I haven't seen it, which always is a possibility that I made it up. Let me see here. Yeah, I haven't found it yet. Maybe Godot can find it while I'm going to talk to somebody, but maybe you can, here we go. Wendy Wright, who's Washington-based group Concerned Women for America, has long opposed Plan B sales. Concerned Women for America sounds like something wacky, like the Catholic League or
the babysitter group.
Has long opposed Plan B sales of prescription. She said she was concerned the FDA decision may lead to more pregnancies. Okay. And sexually transmitted diseases. She said the decision, quote, gives a false sense of security that is detrimental to women. Von Escherbach, and she went on, but I still can't find the statutory rate.
She doesn't want women to have any sense of security whatsoever.
Yeah, it's going to increase it may increase teenage sexual promiscuity. I don't think there's anything to increase teenage sexual promiscuity. There's nothing that teenagers want more. But I can't find the nothing. Let's take a phone call from Mike. What's up, Mike?
You there, Mike? Hello?
Did Mike hang up on us? Did Mike go away?
Put him on. I never liked him.
Okay. Let's talk to Ian then. How you doing, Ian?
How's it going, Ian?
Hey, how's it going? What's up?
Doing very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'm just wondering what's actually changed. I went into Planned Parenthood about a month and a half ago, and picked up Plan B for my girl. No prescription, no doctor's note, no nothing.
Really? What state?
Connecticut.
Connecticut. Is that covered in there? Well, this was a big news. You know, this was like on the Google News thing. It was one of the big things. So somebody, but you just picked it up and it was fine, right? There was no hassle, no nothing.
No, she had been in there before for, you know, something in the past. I don't remember what it was. And they had her on record, so they gave her a reduced price, $25, you know, two little pills. She took them both, and that was that.
That was that? And you can't tell if it's worked or not. Or, I mean, you can't tell if you needed it or not, right?
You don't know, you have no idea if you need it, but it's just like, just in case you go in there and pick it up, and we both agree, like, I don't know if it happened, you don't know if it happened, but, you know, we don't want a kid, and I don't want to pay $300 for an abortion, you don't want an abortion, so let's go pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the greatest idea ever for Plan B. You know, I've always been a nut. I mean, ever since I was a kid, you know, I was always so, so careful about that kind of stuff. And I never understood how people got into that position where you can just, you know, use condoms and it's very simple. But people do, and that's why it's called Plan B, because Plan A is the condom. Okay, well, thanks a lot for calling, Arian. So it's simple. It's simple. There's nothing to it. And maybe this is a non-issue. See, what happened was... Jack didn't think anybody was going to disagree with me on this. So Jack didn't think we should do this subject. Jack said the subject we should do is Survivor breaking down by racial groups. You know, they're now doing African Americans against whites, against Hispanics. And there are Asians in there too. And they've broken them down. Is it four camps? See, I have to ask all these questions because I have never watched Survivor, not even a moment of it. I was on a radio show once with Richard Hatch, who was the winner of the first. I guess he's now he's in jail now, right, for tax evasion. And I was on a radio show with him, and he, you know, he was okay. You know, I think he was trying to host a radio show or something. He was fine. There's no problem. But he kept, you know, he kept talking about expecting me. I was the guest, but he expected me to ask him questions about Survivor. But I didn't know anything. And it's the same thing here. They've broken it down by racial lines, but they—I mean—they already break it down by sex, don't they? I mean, don't they already have these battle of the sexes things? Sure. And I mean, that is, you know, the Olympics is broken down by sex, and breaking things down by race—it certainly plays up the in-group, out-group kind of stuff. And if you're rooting for your own race, and
if you're already worried about a tribe, what's the difference what color they are?
Exactly. Yeah, they call it a tribe.
They call it a tribe. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're just finding different ways. I mean, in Ireland, they're able to do their tribes only by religion. I mean, they could not, you could not have trouble in Ireland without religion, because otherwise you can't tell people apart.
Yeah.
This just makes it easier, I guess. They can, you don't have to, you know, it's like playing basketball.
You run into somebody at night, you can tell who they are, what tribe they're in. I don't know.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You know
why I watch Survivor?
Why that?
That's a shop for real estate. I would go Vanuatu. Man, I've never been there. That looks cool.
Well, you know, we talked to Emily, my wife, has a friend who was a big honcho on the first few fuse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the wacky thing is the huge camera crew running through the jungle and all the lights and all that stuff. It just seems, I mean, I don't understand, I guess. This is funny. Yes, the Emmy that we're up for and incidentally lost was for reality show. But I don't understand the whole idea of reality shows, because they're not real at all. They set them all up. They tell them what to do. They do the whole thing. And now they've broken it down by race. And, you know, I think the problem is, I guess if I considered Survivor to have anything to do at all with our culture, that I'd be maybe bothered by this or had some opinion. But I just see it as being totally parallel to our culture, having nothing to do with anything. You know, I don't think, and it's the same thing, and I've said this a lot, that people in Hollywood, you know, they say, you know, oh, the country's eating this stuff up, but high ratings don't mean that people approve of it. They don't mean that it's part of what they're doing or what they're thinking. What high ratings mean is a lot of people have nothing better to do. Will you just hung up on everybody?
No, we
just lost our monitor.
Everything's
there.
Gone horrible.
Everything's gone. Everything's gone terribly here.
We do still have Gmail, and somebody points out that in your bartering for the prize, you're not bartering, you're haggling. Bartering is a trade of
you're
good.
You're absolutely
for good.
Right.
So
absolutely
you can
kill it
and say, I need two sets of the pills for free. And in exchange.
Yeah, I'll wash dishes. I'll go out and wash.
Yeah,
or, you
okay.
Know, I have 10 packs of condoms. And I'll trade you for two of the Plan B pills. You know, because, you know, the situation would change. You'll need these condoms later. You do it the smart way. 10 sets. Listen, you get to have sex safely, you know, 10 times with these. And I only had it once. And I'm getting, you do a barter that way. Or a chicken.
Sure.
Always a chicken. When I think of barter, we want a chicken. I wanted to do a thing. When we were off Broadway, I suggested doing barter night. This is why I should have known the word. I suggested doing barter night, and I wanted to take, this is the off Broadway theaters. There are like 200 tickets, not that many. I wanted to take the 200 tickets and split them up. Every box office person, the prop people, all the people that work there, the producers would get X number of tickets. Like if you were the star of the show, like if you were, you know, me or Teller, you'd get like 40 tickets. If you're the box office person, you might get 6. We break up that 200. And then one night, like a month, we would have barter night. And we put an ad like in the New York Times that instead of saying, you know, funniest show in New York, and New York Times rave reviews, Penn and Teller, it would just say, you know, Penn is looking for Dylan memorabilia. You know, the box office person likes to cook. And then everybody involved in the show would stand out in the lobby, and you'd have all your tickets in your pocket, right? And someone would come up and say, you know, to me, I got a mono copy of Blonde on Blonde. And I'd say, okay, you can have 8 of my tickets. Give them 8 tickets, take the Blonde on Blonde. And someone else might come in with, you know, I made this homemade soup. Okay, that's worth a ticket. There you go. I'll take that home tonight. Or, you know, a chicken. We always thought a chicken would be the greatest thing. Because a chicken, you can barter a chicken for absolutely anything. Phone number. The phone lines are now working again. 866-570-PEN-7366. I don't care. I guess Rick wants to talk. Let's talk to Rick a little bit. Just to prove the phones are working. That's why you're on, Rick. How you doing,
Hi,
Rick?
Ben. Rick, how Great, thanks. Yourself?
Never better, boss.
Excellent. I'm just calling to say I've never watched more than 5 minutes of that Survivor show.
I
can't stand it. It's really, really contrived. The moment they take a bunch of people, drop them naked on an island in different spots,
naked?
And fall around with cameras.
Did you say naked?
You said if.
Oh, if, okay.
The moment they do that, drop them naked with maybe with a knife or maybe two items, then maybe I'll watch the show.
Okay, with like a knife and maybe like a an autographed picture of Blaze Starr. Just two items, yeah.
Yeah, sure. You know, something to entertain themselves with.
What you don't like is all the structure, right?
Absolutely.
I think it's
terrible. I don't think you can call it reality at all.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The whole idea, what's really funny is the word reality means something very different now than it used to. Reality means something something rather contrived. I mean, I think that's the biggest change these shows have made to our culture. Is that people say
the definition of reality?
Yeah, I think it has changed the definition of reality quite a bit. What do you think about the racial thing, man?
Again, it's contrived. I don't really have too much of a problem with it. We do it in society all the time. That makes it right. It's just that's how it is.
But your major complaint is just that if you want to see a survivor, you want to see a survivor. You want to see them naked and running around in the woods with a knife, right?
You know, having to find a goat and kill it and make a cloak or whatever.
So what you really want is a naked guy running around with a knife killing a goat.
Right.
You want Rick's naked guy killing a goat show.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
will you pitch that for me, please?
I think we are right now. We're pitching. Someone will call in and they'll tell us, you know, we have the money. Let's do Rick's naked guy killing a goat show. Okay, thanks so much, Rick.
Thanks, Ben.
You know, there is a show called Survivor Man. Have you seen that?
No.
It's a guy who goes out by himself with three cameras and a lighter for a week in Antarctica.
By himself?
Yes.
With three cameras?
Yeah.
Okay.
He sets it up and then walks a mile and does something and then walks back and takes down that camera.
Oh, I mean, he
does it himself. It's all himself. He has the cameras, not the crew.
Really?
Yes, it's crazy.
That seems cool.
Really cool.
Is he naked?
No, he's not naked.
Okay, we'll find a show where someone's naked. We'll be back after this, 866-570-PEN, 7366. It's a lady's choice. You can talk Plan B, or you can talk racism on Survivor, but you're going to be talking to me, Penn Jillette, with Michael Godeau on the Free FM. This is Penn Jillette, 866-570-PEN. At 7366, penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. Sitting here with Michael Godeau. Happy Jack is very, very happy because on the Plan B pill thing that I wanted to talk about, I believe we got no calls, zero calls.
One.
We got one call, and then we hung up on him. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, we also got the call on. We got the call that the guy that said it was no problem. He picked it up for his girlfriend. And I mentioned the survival racist thing, and the thing just lit up like crazy. But I also want to say that some pharmacists are refusing to give out the morning after pill on moral grounds, and I am 100% in favor of that. If a pharmacist does not want to sell something they believe is immoral, that is terrific. If I owned a store, I would not sell crucifixes. I would not sell them. I would not want to sell them. That would be my right. It's absolutely the pharmacist's right not to sell morning after pills if they don't want to.
What if he's working for another store? What if he's working for
Walmart?
They
should fire his ass.
Okay.
But that's still the store's policy. You know,
right.
If I'm working at Walmart and I don't want to sell crucifixes, they're not going to let me do it as an employee. They're going to say, you're going to sell them. Okay? And that's fine. But if you're the owner of the store, I don't think you should have to do something against your will. But that's something that I think no one agrees with me on. Let's talk to Gary.
All right.
What's up, Gary?
Hey, Ben, I got some information on the Survivor show, the racial thing.
Sure, lay it on me.
Okay, if your buddy there to watch the show watched the Battle of the Sexes where they separated men from women and old and young, the separation of the groups is only going to be for 1 or 2 days. They're going to have 4 different groups, and then they're going to have some competitions, and then at some point they're going to take 2 people and say, okay, now you pick team members. So then the 4 groups will be divided into 2 tribes.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely, and I believe one of the things that I was reading said that that's the big defense from the producers, that the people that start out separate are going to have to work together anyway, so it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, so they're going to have the best you know, it's going to be like the best of the blacks, the best of the Asians, whatever. But then it's going to get mixed up.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yeah, when they pick sides, it's what it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I bet it will be. And then you'll also see, I mean, in theory, that I think we all agree on, you'll see that those who do try to pick across racial lines, I mean, with racial lines, will probably be at a disadvantage because you should do it totally as a meritocracy and not lean towards your own race. So it ends up being a very good, happy ending. Do you like the show Survivor?
I've watched it, and I want to see this one because I want to watch the choosing of the sides. I got a feeling there's going to be some interesting personalities come out of these people, you know.
Yeah, sure. That's what you watch for. Okay, well, thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot, Gary. Let's talk to Eric there.
Howdy, Eric.
Hey, what's up, Eric?
How you doing, Ben? Michael, love the show.
Thanks so much, man. What's up?
If you watch any reality show, and I would have to say almost every reality show, when they run the credits at the end,
mm-hmm.
there's always a moniker that says writer,
uh-huh.
and the names underneath writer. They have writers for reality
yeah,
shows.
Yeah, they sure do.
Unless you're a mass murderer, a celebrity, or both, I guess reality's so boring that you need a writer for it. Who else would watch it? Who cares about an accountant in the middle of nowhere who's making racial slurs against somebody on a bus driver, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
About that stuff, and then a writer would have to write about it. So
I believe there was big union stuff about that, wasn't there? Originally, they didn't have writers on it, and they were calling people producers. The reality show that we did, I don't mean Bulls Hit, because that comes under, it also was kind of a news show. But one of the reality shows that had competition, it was like one of these we did, like Who Wants to Marry My Dad, or one of those. And we were on as like a surprise performers. We weren't part of the reality. We were part of a show for the people.
Well, Penn and Teller, yeah.
Yeah, and they what they did was, I had never been on the set of a reality show, and I was very surprised that, you know, they would, and now we have behind the curtain, here's Penn and Teller! And they show the people seeing us, and they would go, okay, we're going to show Penn and Teller again, and you guys seem, you know, happy to see them, but we need some shock that they're here. You know, some of you saw them, so why don't you throw your hands in the air and go, oh, geez. And they went like, okay.
You should have said.
And we did it again. And then we were going to make two of the women disappear. And one of them said like, oh, no. And then they came back and said, why doesn't the other one say, oh, no, too? So they were just, you know, scripting it as we went, just telling people what they wanted and walking through it, which I guess is okay. Because once you see something on TV, you know it's not reality because there's a camera there. And we did another reality show where Matt Stanek, who's our light guy, who's a really cool guy, he went on some sort of reality date show. So he was going on as the light man for Penn and Teller, and he was dating like an acrobat from Cirque du Soleil or something. And he came back. First of all, they made him cut his hair, which was horrible. Horrible. Because he was, you know, trying to stop the war by growing his hair. They cut it off. And then he came backstage with his, you know, to get dating advice from Penn. Which is the greatest idea ever. And I said, oh, I see you got your camera crew with you, Matt. And they said, no, Penn, don't acknowledge the camera. And I said, well, this is going out to Americans. It's not going out to, you know, New Guinea tribes. They know that there's a camera or they wouldn't be able to see it, and they know what the camera looks like. And they went, no. You cannot acknowledge the camera. People who watch reality shows don't think there's a camera there. They think it's just happening. And I went, okay, so he comes in and I can't look at the camera and I can't act like there's a camera there, and I have to pretend that our light guy has just come into my dressing room asking me advice on a date. I had to like pretend that's what really was happening. So I remember those two moments, and that's what I feel about reality shows.
Faux reality television, they should call it.
What's that?
Faux reality television.
Faux reality television, yeah. Or you know what they also could call it? They could call it goddamn television. Because that's all it is. That's all it is.
Michael should change his last name to something that's a little less French Canadian. Because I think that's why no one says hello to him.
That could be.
What would you rather have? You have a last name for him?
How about Johnson?
Johnson,
very nice.
Michael Johnson.
I was thinking Danny Salamander.
Yeah, sports are nice.
Danny Salamander. Okay, thanks a lot, man. Thank you so much for calling. Let's take Rick, shall we?
That's Nick.
Nick, I was so close. How's it going, Nick?
How's it going, Penn and Michael?
Never better, boss. How you doing?
pretty good. It seems to me these days that that they're just calling game shows reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's all they're doing. And I think that they were. You know, I mean, I don't really know. I guess what reality show means is no star to pay. Isn't that all it means, really?
Pretty much, I think that's all it means.
Yeah, you just do the plot.
They should just call it like it is, you know? They should call it under out-of-work actors getting paid very little money.
If a show comes out with that title, I want to tell you, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah,
I'm going to watch it. Thanks so much, man. Thanks so much for calling. I'm going to take on Ty. What's up, Ty?
Hey, I'm calling about Plan B.
Oh, sure.
Pharmacist not selling it.
Yeah.
A lot of pharmacists, you know, they're refusing to sell it for the wrong reason. And, I mean, I do support their choice to not want to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to
There are religious sects in this country who believe that life begins at conception. And if you believe life begins at conception, then the morning after pill is, I believe, conceptually, so to speak, identical to an abortion. Now,
yeah,
that's not my position.
But my problem with that is that the medical definition of pregnancy is that it starts when a pharmacist should know that, and he shouldn't be caught up with his moral obligations. I do understand that if he really does have a moral problem against it, then he shouldn't sell it. But he is college educated. He is a pharmacist. He should know when pregnancy really does truly begin. And that kind of sends the wrong signal to me.
I absolutely agree. And as a matter of fact, if you have a pharmacist who's not selling the morning after pill, you might not want to get your Ambien from him. I mean, I think that is a sign that the person is badly educated and his dogma is overcoming his knowledge in science. I think there's no better way to say to the world, I'm a lousy pharmacist, than not to sell Plan B. I just think it should be legal not to sell Plan B. And one of the things that is unusual about the libertarian position is I believe that people should have the legal right to do bad ideas. And that's what I'm always fighting for. You never need to fight for the people that do the smart stuff.
I couldn't agree more.
Thanks a lot, man. Thank you so much. And the number is 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. And what did he just say? What is that? What are you saying? Okay, let's take John. Let's take John. How you doing, John?
Hey, what's going on, Penn?
Never better, boss. How are you?
All right, I'm good. I own a small pharmacy on Long Island,
mm-hmm.
and I'm totally in favor of unprotected sex,
mm-hmm.
and I'm totally in favor of gay love with Casey. He's my lover, and I love him.
So in favor of who? He just said he was having gay unprotected sex with somebody. Who was it? He say?
I don't know.
I thought it was Casey. I thought it was like some sort of like joke, like he was going to go, you know, Howard Stern or something. But what's in the news, Robin? And and let's see. Let's talk to Michael. We got time before the break. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Penn, how you doing?
Never better, boss.
Listen, I'm a libertarian, too. So, for example, with the Boy Scouts, I would agree that they have the right to do whatever they want. If they don't want to have gay Boy Scouts, I'm fine with that. The difference with a pharmacist, though...
Well, let me just add one thing there. The Boy Scouts have a perfect right to do that, providing they do not take any government money. And they are taking government money, so they're no longer a private entity. But go on.
Okay, good. But yeah. you're kind of making my point here, because mm-hmm. pharmacists, they don't take government money, but they get government licenses.
Mm-hmm.
So a pharmacist will be licensed to sell drugs, and there's a responsibility that goes along with that. It's not like you can just go to anywhere else and buy Plan B if that pharmacist isn't going to sell it. Small towns sometimes only have one pharmacist. It's not like
your point is that part of the let's put this in really psycho-libertarian terms. Part of the deal you make when you agree to be a pharmacist is to sell every drug that's legal. Is that right?
Well, it's if the government wants to impose that, they can, because they're giving you the license and they can put it under whatever terms they want.
But you're just saying that the engagement that you've entered into when you become a licensed pharmacist is that license includes the agreement that you will sell any drug the government says is legal.
Right, the same way that you couldn't sell an illegal drug, they can also tell you you must sell legal drugs.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a really, really good point. And I would argue that, you know, I don't want the government to control that many drugs.
But your point that they shouldn't be regulated anyway. But
once you've done that, it's a very, very good point that it's part of the agreement, and it's different than a Walmart not selling something because you do have your drugs all licensed. Very, very good point. I think that actually kicks the ass of the point I was making. I think it really does. Thanks so much. We're going to take a every time I get my ass kicked, it's time to take a break. 866-570-PEN 7366 PennRadio@gmail.com. We're going to be back. We'll talk about either the Plan B pill and pharmacists, although I just lost my argument, or we can talk about Survivor and make Happy Jack even happier. Bye-bye. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on the big free FM, 866-570-PEN. That's 7366 if you want to call in. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Sitting here with Gary Salamanders, which is anyone named to me?
Danny Salamander, please.
Danny Salamander. And we have a Gmail in here that says, good morning, gentlemen. The argument that having a quick, cheap, easy way to prevent pregnancy makes people promiscuous makes me shake my head and laugh. We already have the quick, cheap, easy condom. I'm not a bigger slut because I have condoms. I'm a safer slut. If I'm being safer with a condom, it's the same thing with the Plan B. No one is going to run out and bareback it, knowing they'll have to shell out $40. The Plan B is for broken condoms, sexual assault, and poor drunken decisions. Plan B relieves the fear that if something goes wrong, there'll be a long-lasting and unforeseen consequence. Plan B just gives women one less thing to worry about, and no one should worry about sex. That's from our friend Natasha.
And it is called Plan B.
Exactly. The whole thing is explained. Let's talk to Michelle there. Hey, Michelle, what's up?
Hi, Penn.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks. I've never called you. I listen to you all the time, but this subject just infuriates me because of my own personal experience with rape. You know, I'm a rape survivor. 10 years ago, I was assaulted outside my work. It was 10 o'clock at night. The guy was never caught. And, you know, at the hospital, they gave me this pill, I guess, as a standard procedure for rape victims.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot... And I have a healthy son who is a Marine. He's in Iraq. I cannot imagine, had I gotten pregnant that night from that horrible experience, not having that option. I cannot, the thought of even being pregnant from that or bringing the child into this world, just going through 9 months of reliving that nightmare. You know, I hear these people that say, oh, well, you could have been pregnant. You could have given it up for adoption. They've never been there. They do not know what that's like, and it's not that simple. It's just not.
It amazes me that people do make the argument that rape victims should have to give birth, and that argument really is made. And every time I see the argument, I always check to see, you know, what kind of whack job is saying that, because it seems to lack common sense and any sort of compassion whatsoever. And I'm very glad that was available to you. Well, what do you think? Of course, the over-the-counter thing is an entirely different issue, because you were raped and went to the hospital, and it's been available there for a while. But from the point of view of a woman, are you okay with it being available without prescription?
You know, I'll go back just one second. I have been an active duty police officer for 20 years, and I've always had to stay neutral as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that whether I believe in abortion or not, or whether I believe in these things, this country was based and founded on the right to choose.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the bottom line. It doesn't matter whether I believe in it. We have freedom in this country, and we should have the right to choose or not to choose. I understand that the argument, if it is a personal, privately owned company, that you should have the right to not sell it. However, that gentleman made a really good point about the obligation of pharmacists.
Well, the police officer is a wonderful example, because when you decide to be a police officer, you made an agreement to, I think the agreement that you make can be summed up, you made the agreement to enforce laws separate from your own morality. I mean, I imagine, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I imagine there's a chance you've made busts that you did not agree with the law. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. There are many times where I have had to do things that go against my own moral fabric. I am not a religious person by any means, but my own moral,
sure,
inside spiritual fabric that I've had to go against, because, you know, when I signed that paper and I agreed to take that oath and that badge, I agreed to protect and serve. And it sounds cliche, but it's the truth. You know, I agreed by doing this job that I would, above all else, protect and serve those people out there, whether I believe in it or not. You know, I might believe that marijuana should be legal, you know. Yeah. I went to college. I'm all for it. You know, I'm legal. I could care less. But my duty to this country says it's illegal, and until it's illegal, I'll enforce that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in it, but that's what I have chosen to do with my life. So yeah, there is a moral dilemma there in with people that do law enforcement. Anybody that is good at their job is going to have that type of moral dilemma. But I still think that this country was based on freedom, and for this government to step in and say don't to anything without any consideration for the people, you know, it's wrong. It's wrong no matter how you look at it. It's wrong. You know, I, you know, your show, when you came on with your TV show, we actually used to watch it before lineup. because we'd come in early and take those 30 minutes to do nothing but cheer, because you basically were sticking your middle finger up to the entire government system. and it's a beautiful thing. And unfortunately, it goes against the norm. Being a survivor of violence doesn't change my outlook. It may have changed me personally, but it never changed my outlook as far as our right to choose. You know, that whole Roe versus Wade, you know, anybody that comes to me and says, you cannot do this to your body, it makes me, you want to just bitch slap them.
Well, your point of view is so fascinating, and just so smart, and I agree with it completely, because on the one hand, you're saying that what you want is the fewest laws possible and the most freedom possible, and yet you made an agreement and gave your word when you became a police officer that you would do the job separate from your morality. And that's a really interesting point of view that's not often talked about, and I'm really fascinated by it. But it does bring up the question, since you're so in favor of Roe versus Wade, if Roe versus Wade were overturned, and if you had a bust a doctor who was giving abortions, is that, and you were still a police officer, I don't know whether you are now or not, would you be comfortable doing that, or would you have to resign, or would you go against your agreement?
You know, I would not be comfortable doing it. Mm-hmm. But as long as I was wearing that uniform, I would do what I had to do, because that is what I agreed to do. And the minute I decide that my moral fabric is taking over so much more than my inner need to serve, you know, I come from five generations of police. Wow. And the minute I feel like I can't do that 100%, then I will take the badge off and I will retire. But until I do that, I feel very strongly in my obligation, just like my son felt very strongly against my will to join the Marine Corps and head to Iraq. He really believed in it, and I really believe in what I do. those picket lines when every time Roe versus Wade comes up and they are picketing the abortion clinics, and we have to stay neutral. And I don't agree with it, but this is what I've chosen to do. And maybe I am not the norm, you know. Maybe my convictions are too strong.
No, maybe you're not the norm, and maybe you should be president of the United States of America. Because we don't want the norm. We've had enough of the norm being president. We need someone better than us, and I think you fit that category.
Well, thank you.
That was just wonderfully, wonderfully spoken, and a very, very complicated idea. I mean, that once you've agreed to do a job, you have, and you know, I'm sure there are laws that could be made that would make you quit as a police officer, and that's exactly fine too. But it's and I'm so sorry, Michelle. And what's really heartbreaking and not stated, we haven't talked about outright, is the fact that you were raped. You're a police officer, and even with the full attention, I'm sure that all your colleagues gave the case, the person couldn't be caught, and that's a terrible and a very frightening thing.
Yeah, it was. It was, but, you know, I don't dwell, you know, I came to terms with it. My anger does not, you know, things happen. That's just the way it is. You know, it's life, move on. But I think what angers me more is, had this gentleman been caught, or this person, had this person been caught, I don't have, and this coming from somebody who's been in law enforcement now, I don't have the faith in our court system to have given him what I thought would have been suitable punishment anyway.
Wow. That's
your next topic.
That's the next topic. Thank you so much, yeah. Michelle. And I'm very sorry. And I just, I couldn't look up to you more. Thanks, Michelle.
So much. Bye-bye.
Thanks. And we got a bunch more calls. I want to read this Gmail because it kind of brings it a little bit lighter. I just think Michelle's the greatest. Why doesn't she run for president? If the morning after pill is Plan B, then that means Plan A, contraception. Plan B, Plan B pill. Plan C, abortion. Plan D, put the kid up for adoption. Plan E, boarding school. Plan F, waiting 18 years and sending your kid off to college. Plan Z, if your kid won't leave home, waiting till they die of old age. And that's from our friend Iron Man. He's in Australia, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
You want to? Is there one more quick call? Let's take David here.
Sure. Hey, David, how's it going?
What's up, David?
Hi, how you doing?
Never better, boss. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Now, actually, I kind of support the pharmacist's right if the person doesn't want to sell it. I mean, it's his business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's his business.
That is saying that it is his business and that he hasn't made an agreement with the licensing board, with the people he works for to do that. That's the distinction. You're using the argument that I used before I was hipped and so clearly hipped and slapped around by Michelle. So you're taking the point of view before our last call.
I like Michelle. Yeah, I like Michelle. By the way, I do to say I'm had a case.
We're going to have to cut you off just because the music's playing. I'm so sorry. Please call in again. I meant no disrespect by that.
No problem.
Okay, thanks a lot, man. This is Penn Jillette. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.